Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape our community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
With a new president comes a new approach to climate change, one that is drastically different from the current administration's policies and goals. President-elect Donald Trump has said he wants to do away with regulations intended to cut carbon emissions and has promised to weaken or eliminate federal rules aimed at slowing climate change. But the work to find global solutions to climate change continues. This week, there is an annual gathering of 200 countries from around the world meeting to discuss how to tackle climate change. Tia Nelson is a lifelong environmental advocate and the daughter of U.S. Senator Gaylord Nelson, the founder of Earth Day. She tells WUWM Susan Benz, climate solutions can only be found through collaboration.
I became quite focused on going to Washington. I had this really naive idea that I could travel the world and help save the planet, which is a pretty silly concept if you think about it. And I managed to get a job in the government relations office at the Nature Conservancy. And I worked for them for 17 years, first in government relations and public policy, and later in the Latin American division, and then finally working at the intersection of conservation and climate change. And I became their first director of their climate change initiative and led that work from the very beginning. And it's grown leaps and bounds since I was there and is now very much a part of everything they do. But it was not at the time. And so that was an interesting challenge and an interesting opportunity.
Is that a period of time that you felt as though there was traction, there was a real possibility that climate policy would take hold in a meaningful way?
It's interesting to note, in 1992, I traveled to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, for the Earth Summit. And the Framework Convention on Climate Change was signed there by, I'd have to look up how many signatories there were, I think 192 signatories. George Herbert Walker Bush was present, signed the Framework Convention on Climate Change, and said the following words: "The United States will lead the world in addressing this existential threat." That was an exciting and hopeful moment. Think of it. This is a Republican president pledging to cooperate with 190-plus nations around the world to address this, really the greatest environmental challenge of human time. And so in the years that came after that, there were, and continue to be today, annual meetings with the kind of goofy name, Conference of the Parties, in which nations gather and try to figure out how we can address this global threat, meet the challenge, and find the opportunities to build a future in which we can all thrive. And it's been a very long journey, and we're not where we should be. We're certainly not where I would hope we would be, and we've had a lot of missed opportunities, and we're running out of time.
You mentioned the promise of that time.
Mm-hmm.
What have you seen happen since then?
Unfortunately, I think we find ourselves at a significant inflection point in history, certainly in my lifetime, both in terms of the political divisiveness that impacts a multitude of policies, where it used to be possible for Democrats and Republicans to work together to find solutions and compromise. And that seems so difficult and challenging today. And this inflection point comes at a time where the urgency of action on climate change has never been more serious and more important. And so finding a way to engage citizens and communities in understanding the challenge of climate change and helping deploy the solutions, and we know what the solutions are and the technology is available, it is within our reach. Creating that political will is a challenge in this type of political environment. But I believe that we have opportunities to do that. And that is my focus. The question that I think about a lot is, environmentalists have been talking about the climate change issue for a long time. I've been engaged in international conversations and negotiations since 1992. I've worked at the local level, I've worked at the state level, I've worked internationally. We've been at this a long time. Why aren't we where we need to be? And I think we, as an environmental community, have failed in many ways to appeal to a broader audience, to appeal to people who don't get up in the morning and identify as an environmentalist. I've lived my life as an environmentalist, but many people have not. And yet, we are all dependent on clean air, clean water. We are all threatened, our livelihoods, our lives, our children and grandchildren. It's the biggest environmental challenge we face. And so you don't have to be an environmentalist to be impacted or think about this issue. So we have to find a different way, in my opinion. We really, as environmentalists, have failed to effectively communicate to a broader constituency, a broader audience, what the urgency is, what the solutions are, and how the average person can be a part of building that brighter future. And I think we can do it. I think we're in a time where the importance of individuals and communities and civil society to listen to each other, to talk to each other, to find common ground, to discuss our shared values, and look towards action and the future could not be more important than now.
Is part of the idea lifting up, encouraging, nurturing trusted messengers?
Well, I'm very interested in figuring out how we meet people where they are, identify common values, engage a broader community in a conversation around environmental solutions generally and climate change particularly. And I'm very inspired by what's happening in the faith community. There's a movement, which I think is very important and very powerful, called Creation Care. This is within the Christian faith. Talks about caring for God's creation. Those voices, and I was not raised in a religious family, though my grandmother was quite devout. My mother was not. But the promise of broadening the conversation and finding new language to talk about the awesomeness that is the natural world. And any means by which we can get there is worth exploring. I am inspired by people like Dr. Catherine Hayhoe, who's a evangelical and head of the Nature Conservancy Science Program, Bob English, the former Republican congressman, who had a pivotal moment in his life in which he went from being a climate change denier to dedicating his life, creating a Republican-oriented organization and dedicating his life to address climate change because of an encounter that he had with a scientist who shared his religious values. So how do we identify trusted messengers in the community who can speak to a broader audience? I think that's critical, and it's not always going to be environmentalists.
As you've said, you've put in many years into the movement. It's easy to despair. So you really find promise in this approach.
I believe that if we can, as individuals in society, in our communities, spend more time listening to each other, identifying common value propositions, and having discussions and debates even about what the right solutions are to go move forward to address these challenges, I believe we can do it. I believe we must do it. It is the opportunity before us. And I think in a way, the divisiveness that we're seeing in the political world makes this opportunity more important and more critical.
Because ultimately, we need masses to just demand that action take place, right?
Yeah. Well, elected officials respond to their constituencies. Certainly, that is the intended design of a democratic system. But elected officials have to respond to the people who elect them. And if we prioritize this issue, they have to be responsive to it. And not so long ago, I stitched together a series of YouTube videos in which the following people were saying climate change was an issue and needed to be addressed by Congress. And some of these names will likely shock your audience as much as it shocked me. Sarah Palin, Huckabee, Newt Gingrich, Mitt Romney, and others, all not that many years ago, stated the urgency of addressing climate change and the need for bipartisan collaboration around that issue. Now, these people that I've named are pretty conservative, and they're all Republican. John McCain was in there as well, and he was a great leader on climate change. So it wasn't that long ago that Republicans were talking about and helping lead on this issue. And I believe that's possible again. It will take time, and it certainly will take the engagement of the citizenry to demand that of its elected officials.
You intend to pour your energies into?
Well, I am prioritizing kindness. I am practicing my listening skills. To me, this challenge requires individuals and communities and civic organizations to help weave back together the torn fabric, thread by thread, through conversations and listening and kindness, and through engagement with others, even those with whom we disagree. We're in a time of very frayed fabric, and we each can contribute to sewing that back together. And that's what I'm committed to helping do.
Tia Nelson is a Wisconsin environmentalist who serves on the board of Eco America. She spoke with WUWM's environmental reporter, Susan Bentz.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.